everybody. This is episode number 25.
Yep.
The SFU podcast for YouTube. I might just cut myself out saying what I said earlier. We are here with a special guest. We've actually been talking about having him on for quite a while now. This is a media personality. He is a podcast host for Trevor Talks. He's a speaker. He speaks at concerts and all different sorts of things, talking about anxiety and whatever else. Everybody, welcome Trevor Tyson.
Yes.
How's it going, man?
Dude, I'm doing so well. I'm just happy to be here on SFU. And thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Of course. Where are you at?
I am about an hour east of Atlanta. So I'm in Georgia, out here in the armpit of the South. Yeah, a little town called Social Circle. There's barely anybody here, but the people that are here are very genuine, and I love them so much, enough to not leave. But so out here in the South, loving life and enjoying, I wouldn't say enjoying the pandemic, but, you know, just operating within a global pandemic, right?
Of course. Are you originally from Georgia?
Yeah, I still live in the same town I grew up in. I think growing up in a small town kind of gave me that drive to stay here and kind of break the mold of you have to go to Nashville or LA or all that to make it. And I'm like, why not just bring it here? Like, we're not in the 70s. You don't have to have a manager and live in LA. Like, we have airports. You don't need a manager for everything. Like, why not just start something and grow it at home? Like, everybody wants to get out and do something. And that's why everybody thinks that small towns are where your dreams die, because everybody's scared to branch out and do it.
That's kind of the same situation with where we live. We're about 4 hours west of Phoenix, Arizona. We're right at the border of California and Arizona. So this is considered like a spring break city. But there is it's about 40, 50,000 population, I think. So it's a small city.
Yeah, we have like 2,000 to 3,000, something like
that. Oh, wow. So that's like where my grandpa was from, York, Nebraska.
Bro, we've got one stoplight. One.
Okay, yeah. One traffic light. That was this place in 1964. So since then.
Living it, bro.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of stoplights... I told you I got pulled over. I ran a stop sign on my way up here by the fire department. It's stupid. They set this up to trap people. There's a fire department, then there's a hill, and then I'm trying to go down the hill from on this street, and I don't even know where this guy was. He was hiding, and then he just shot out of nowhere, lit me up.
Dude, it's this spaghetti plate like town layout.
Yeah, that's one of the jokes that they say is that the guy who designed Disneyland designed the road system here, and that they just took spaghetti, threw it on the map of the city, and then traced the spaghetti.
Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason, no grids. It's just all over the map. It's insanity to try to work your way around here.
That's amazing.
So let's get a little bit into some of the stuff that you do your talks about. I'm very interested to see what you have to say about that.
Yeah, so around the age of 16, I started struggling with anxiety and panic attacks, and I was doing a tour promoting an event, and we were in Birmingham, Alabama, and I was a senior in high school. I was class president. Like, it seemed like everything on paper was going well. Like, I was on tour promoting this event. But I started having a panic attack, and I didn't know what it was. So I'm like going to the EMTs because it was a bigger event. And I'm like, hey, do y'all have ibuprofen or something? They're like, we can't give kids ibuprofen, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I'm walking around the event, like heaving, like out in the parking lot, trying to puke, like getting into all the nitty gritty things about it. And I just remember feeling so low, and almost to a point, I would want to say I felt very... crippled by this. And that was my first experience with a panic attack. And after that, it was like they were reoccurring, and now know it's panic disorder is something I developed. And it's something that I still fight to this day with therapy, medication, and my faith. And, you know, it's been a long journey, and it's not going to be the same for everybody, right? Everybody wants this one thing fix all. process. And that's just not how it works. It's like medication, therapy, my faith was a huge role in it. And that's not going to be the same thing for everybody. So like I live my life now to just help people overcome that. And, I give credit where I believe it's due, and like through the people that have walked through it with me. And, I believe it's like a God-given platform, right? That I'm able to talk about this because I'm just that little guy from Social Circle, Georgia, that happened to find my passion and calling and almost a whole different lifestyle through the rage that I was experiencing. And yeah, so overcoming anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, all of those things are a huge part of my story. And I'm currently transitioning to renaming my clothing brand Fear is a Liar, which I created right when I got out of the fear and anxiety bubble. And I'm like, I'm not in that position anymore. And I feel like people find things that work for them and they stick with it. And I just feel ingenuine about it. So I'm like, okay, I want to be more transparent in my work. And it's like Transparent Clothing Company is what the new name is going to be. And we're going to have seasons. Like everybody has different seasons of life they get into. So one of my seasons was like, my message was fear is a liar. I'm going to overcome this. So we're going to have that collection. And then moving into different seasons and able to branch out into different creative ventures, but none of that happened to have just been living life as normal, right? I feel like I had to go through that to know what it's like to help other people get through it. Now we're on the flip side of it. I still struggle. It's not like a you're healed type thing. You know, those telepastors like almost punch people in the face and they like fall on the floor and act like they're healed. Yeah. Yeah, that didn't happen. So you just have to learn to live with it and overcome it. And I never take ownership for it. You'll never, in my first fear is a liar video, I was like, my name is Trevor Tyson and my fear is a liar. That's one thing I've grown on. I will not say that my fear is anything. Like that's taking ownership at that point. Oh, so yeah, in order to move past it, you have to disassociate yourself with it. It's not your identity. Anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, they're not your identity. You're stronger than your symptoms. So
you don't want to personify them, basically.
Yeah, it's like people want to name them like they do their child, and that's just not, that's a whole mentality thing, like your mindset. If you're not going to allow yourself that position of power to be like, I'm going to overcome this, but how are you going to have that mindset and say, my anxiety, my this, my that, my anxiety's acting up, I can't go out to dinner. Yes, cool to call out of plans, but don't blame it on your ugly stepchild anxiety, right? Like I'm experiencing this right now, but I'll get past it. But I do need to take this time for myself, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like people say that you don't name a stray dog because then it's going to want to stick around, or you don't feed a stray dog kind of situation. So it's like referring to it as I'm having anxiety is like anxiety is just a visitor here.
Yeah.
I'm not, this isn't me.
Anxiety it's just temporary.
Anxiety is just hanging very out temporary. For the moment. Yeah. And like you, my first kind of fight with anxiety was around 15, 16 as well. And I thought I was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
Like
you're dying. Like you're done.
Absolutely. There's the shortness of breath. So I was like, okay, like my mom's a nurse. So I've heard forever what the signs of a heart attack are. And I'm like, I'm 16. Why is this happening? And getting like the prickly sensation and like sweating, you can't breathe, you get tunnel vision. And it started happening mostly to where it seemed like when I would talk to therapists or like nurse practitioners, they would say, well, this kind of sounds like agoraphobia, because it would happen when I would go into like a store. And as soon as I was past the area where I could no longer see the exits to the store, I would start losing it. I wouldn't have a grasp on my, on like clarity or anything like that. Everything just went out the window and I was no longer in control of my breathing or what I was doing. It was basically like I was having a seizure is what it felt like. And they tried medications and things like that, and like SSRIs mostly. I had some kind of bad reactions to SNRIs. And then of course they pushed the famous Xanax.
Yeah.
And that's one that if
very
you can like manage just taking it when it's supposed to be taken, it works, but it's also super addictive.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's kind of where I go off the rails.
So I heard on Whitney Cummings' podcast that there's something called a beta blocker, which will help like slow down your heart rate and help you to like get a grasp on the moment. I'm not sure. I haven't researched them yet, so I'm not making a recommendation, but just for the point of conversation, like if someone's looking for that place to start, I would, I'm not going to say I would recommend because I'm not a doctor, but it almost makes me want to be like, because I know when I take, I have a medication for when I'm having a panic attack that helps it slow down. It's the same thing they give people when they're having seizures. Cause I go off like it's a bad situation, but I'm like, I wonder if that whole beta blocker thing will work because I get tired when I take, I think it's Klonopin or something like that. I'm not sure.
Klonopin is like Xanax, but it's like the extended release version. I was on that, and that makes it easier because Xanax is like, it's such a sudden onset of just drowsiness that it gets dangerous. And that's what people get addicted to. The Klonopin was spread out over the day. So, but you still got that feeling.
Yeah.
When I went to rehab, they did give me Klonidine for a short period of time. And it's usually given to people that have like heart issues, like heart palpitations, irregular heartbeats. Cause it's blocking a certain like adrenergic signal to your heart. So it kind of slows the heart rate down, kind of gets it back in order. But it does work for some people.
I feel like there are some like parts of life where you need to experience the anxiety, like before I get on stage or
you're back.
I was saying, I feel like there's some pieces of like anxiety that we need to feel because like when I'm about to get on stage and I get those butterflies, it means I care. And without that adrenaline boost, like maybe I wouldn't do as well. But there are definitely pieces where it's not a necessary thing to feel like fight or flight mode, but some people can manage it. Some people can't. I happen to be one of those people that needed medication. Like it's just genetics. It comes down to there was a deficiency somewhere and that helps it. So if anybody out there is on the fence about therapy or medication or anything like that, like don't let your church elders or whatever talk you out of it. Like they're if you're going to a church where a pastor is telling you that medication is a devil, like
what you said there about you know experiencing the anxiety, because that's kind of how I feel with like depression, you know what I mean? Like it's not good to feel depressed all the time, but sometimes I feel like I need it just so I can it helps me grow.
As a creative, like you need to feel that to like pour it into your music or your craft or your art, whatever it is. Like I said before, my experience with anxiety and depression kind of helped grow me into who I am now. So I'm not giving it credit for who I am. Determination, drive, and again, my faith, like is a huge chunk of me. I will never consider anxiety or depression to be a causing factor in like who I've become, but I will say that the experiences that I went through helped me to see clearly on who I am.
Yeah, it's how you deal with it. How you dealt with the anxiety and how you were able to overcome those moments. They're all little battles in a giant war that as you go along, it's kind of like you feel like you gain control over when anxiety gets to come over and visit. And that's really the best that a person that suffers with panic disorder can do. Because I've been diagnosed with panic disorder. That's one of the ones that I actually believe because it happens a lot. And then, of course, there's generalized anxiety. And then they've tried to say bipolar disorder. But that one, I was addicted to heroin for a number of years. And when you're coming off of things like that, your brain chemistry is so up and down that you exhibit signs of bipolar, but it's not that. It's a symptom of a larger thing.
Right.
Do you think, have you basically out of the people that you've talked to, and I'm sure you get a lot of people telling you their story and you get to talk to a lot of people about this kind of stuff, which is awesome. But have you seen like a common theme that possibly therapy helps more for some people, or that medication helps more for certain types of anxiety or things like that? Have you noticed some kind of trend in that way?
Yeah, I've never seen therapy being a bad thing unless someone like, you know, for a drug user, like that one, it only takes one pill to send you over the edge. So like, there's always going to be that one therapist that's like doing a trash job and you just need to find another therapist. So there's always going to be sucky therapists. There's always going to be, unfortunately, like sucky pastors, sucky teachers, like there's going to be sucky podcast hosts. Like there's just bad apples in every single aspect of having a job. Like people are going to have bad days and are going to do a bad job. So I've never really heard anybody having negative effects from therapy. I've only heard positive if they're going to a good therapist. When it comes to medication, it's to each his own. If someone has panic disorder, I would highly recommend going to see a psychiatrist and really just diving deep in, maybe get some blood work done, see if you have vitamin deficiency somewhere before you get on an antidepressant. But again, therapy is still, unfortunately, a luxury item. Not everybody can afford it. Like, I remember leaving my job when I worked for AT&T and I lost my health insurance, and I started using an app called BetterHelp. And I was able to use that on tour. Yeah, I was able to use that on tour, and you just like FaceTime with a therapist. And it's been very, very beneficial for me. Once you start therapy, I think it's healthy to keep going like at least once a month. Specifically because like, okay, you're better now, but when you stop, you know, you kind of just start building it back up
and you'll find yourself.
Right, right.
Yeah,
that's always been a big deal.
A relapse of some sort with anxiety or whatever you're struggling with. So if you find yourself in a successful place of overcoming it, continue to feed that. Like if you train a dog, you want to continue to feed it and train it. Like if someone's a great football player and they won the Super Bowl, it's not that they can't like stop going to practice. As we saw with Conor McGregor this last week, you know, you can get rusty. You could be the best in the world, take 2 years off, and you got to build yourself back up. So why take that time off if you're successful with it? And unfortunately, like we see a lot of people of even influence dying by suicide, and I'll never say commit suicide. It's just die by suicide, because sometimes like it's like a cancer. They, you know, couldn't see through that depression. So when people die by suicide, like some of them are going to therapy and some of them are doing everything right. And some of them had just had their medication switched and something in their brain wasn't adding up and depression just ate them alive. So I live to see people overcome these things that I've struggled with in my life and have seen other people struggle with. I have some friends that lost someone to suicide 2 years ago, and it's like, or almost 2 years ago, so like a year and a few months now. And that was a really big hit for me. And that person was a leader in the faith and strong Christian, seemed like everything was together, had a beautiful wife, beautiful family. And just one day, you know, something didn't add up and it took his life. So if for anybody that's out there struggling with loss by suicide, you know, you're a survivor as well. Your feelings are valid. If you're still trying to overcome that and it's been a few months or a year and you just can't get out of that dip, you know, seek out therapy, talk through it with somebody. And a lot of times for me, it's better to talk to somebody I don't know. So that's why therapy is so beneficial. So never rule out therapy, even if you've never personally struggled with depression. If you've lost someone, whether it's the suicide or maybe a close friend or a relative died near you, mourning is very healthy. But when it becomes something that drags you down every day, it's time to seek help.
Yeah. Sometimes you need an outside opinion to kind of guide you through things that people that are close to you aren't going to see, because they know you so well. They're not going to look outside of that realm to try to help figure things out.
Yeah. And I feel like we're not meant to do all this shit alone. You know what I mean? Like we should. Yeah,
for sure.
Some people purposely do it alone because whatever, they're probably,
they want to be a lone wolf. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's just better. Like, cause with us, like in recovery, it's better to be around people with positive, like, you know, affirmations attitudes. And attitudes and stuff like that. Like,
And the one thing that's that like
positive in their recovery too, because some people are just like,
yes,
I can't wait to get through this so I can go use. I'm on probation and I need to get off of it so I can. Being around that kind of stuff is it's a catalyst to ruin your life
for sure. It plants it in your head, like absolutely a lot of the time.
And why is it that people are afraid to speak with people that aren't like thinking the same way as them? Kind of like Republicans, Democrats.
I literally just said this to him. Like, yeah.
I mean, look at it this way. Like, I see you guys are rocking Blackcraft merch, like on Warped Tour side by side, you see Heart Support and Blackcraft. I'm a strong advocate with Heart Support. You guys are obviously a strong advocate for Blackcraft. Why are there not more conversations? Like,
exactly.
There needs to be that. Why can't, like, just because there are different belief factors does not at all whatsoever mean that there can't be good brought out of conversation. With me being in the faith-based world, I told my parents, I was like, yeah, I've got a few podcast interviews tomorrow. And I mentioned you guys and I'm like, whoa, that's outside your realm. And I'm like, okay, so why would I go through and handpick and choose what interviews suit my brand?
Like
absolutely. I want to have conversations with people that are amazing, genuine people. I never ask about numbers. I never ask about your beliefs. Like, I want to have a conversation with everybody because I'm an extrovert. I like to talk. I like to run my mouth. And if someone's willing to have a conversation with you, who are you to decline that? Right?
Exactly.
So this is hands down like my favorite interview of the day, specifically because I could tell you guys are probably metalheads like myself. I love metalcore music. Like,
absolutely.
It's just hands down my favorite genre. And I get tired of, and I'm not like going after politicians or Instagram influencers. I get so tired of the phony, like fake reality. Like Instagram's a highlight reel. So I'll go in there and like, I'll take selfies when I just got done bawling my eyes out and I'll post that. Like, let's get emotion is so normal. Yeah. So like, that's the whole thing behind rebranding from Fear is a Liar to Transparent Media, like fear and liar, like very bold things to say. Like I said, the collection will still be there, but I want to be transparent. So Transparent Clothing Company, Transparent Media Company, essentially, creating this whole umbrella brand of just being transparent. We don't have to believe the same thing. We don't have to have the same type of job. We don't have to love the same kind of people. At the end of the day, if you're not loving on people of diversity, like you're just feeding into a bigger issue, which is what we've seen in the United States over the past decade.
Oh yeah. It's been split. Like the reason I first came up with like starting our own podcast was listening to other podcasts and just seeing the stuff going on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. And it was like, people would talk about the average person. And I was like, who is more average than two roofers that work in Arizona?
Yeah, yeah.
Come like, on, man.
Yeah, they have a very weird idea of like who all these people are out here. And I was like, there's a giant demographic of people that think similar to us. Because when we meet people all the time on jobs, we get along with every single one of them. We don't ask them their personal stuff, their politics, their religion. We don't care. That's if religion works for you, I'm so happy. I would never have anything negative to say to somebody.
Good for you.
Like,
it's mentality.
Like, yeah. That's great for you. I tried it and it's not like I hate it. It's whatever. That's their life. You know, everybody leads different lives.
Yeah.
The only way you can get further along in like basically unity, bringing more people together, is more people from vastly different backgrounds finding common ground.
That's
like anxiety. Someone who's of the faith and not of the faith have the exact same problems. Oh, maybe we're not different. We're all people. There's no big difference.
Dude, that's what I was just thinking though. Like people always forget like the most beautiful thing about life. I feel like, cause I've been working on myself, you know, but like I feel is the fact that we can talk to other people who don't think the same way. I think it's interesting personally. Like when people think something differently than me, I'm like, oh, well tell me, you know, like that's cool. And I'll listen. It's dope. That's the most beautiful
part about it. And it's like, I see so many people that won't accept interviews for people that don't align with them because they're scared of conversation. Like I go into every single conversation, interview, whatever it is. Like I want to have a conversation, even the hard ones. Like yesterday I reposted a video, Sarah Huckabee Sanders announced she was running for governor of Arkansas. And I just thought the video looked really cool. I thought the messaging was great. And I read her book and like, not even on a political spectrum here, mind you, I was just like, strong video, strong messaging, you go girl type thing. Like yeah. Be strong. Like I respect the crap that people were dogging you because of your looks and you didn't let it get to you and you still went on and now you're running for governor somewhere. Like that is amazing. And I got so many messages like she's part of the problem. And I was like, do you not remember that I posted a picture of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris on inauguration day? Like I'm not a political person. I don't care who you voted for. I don't care what these people are voting for. Like if I see a strong voice, a strong advocate, a mother of like three or five people, and she's out here grinding, like respect, like absolutely. Political things aside, like I read Sarah Huckabee Sanders' book. I read Michelle Obama's book. I read Tommy Loren's book, like all over the place. I find key things that I see that are amazing in a person. And I want to learn that. I'll soak it up like a sponge. And I also see the things that didn't work for that person. And I'm like, what can I learn from their mistakes to where I don't over like have to deal with that. So it's like a buffet. You pick and choose the things that may work for you and you leave the things that didn't. And a lot of times, like when people are sharing their stories, they're just sharing the great parts. I'm open to talk about the failures that I've seen in my life. I'm open to talk about the successes. I'm open to talk about business ventures, mental health. Like I'm not afraid to like, if I believe Jesus loves me, I believe he loves you too, but I'm not going to sit here. I'm like, no. Like you're wrong. This is you should believe. Like that conversation is doing nothing at all.
Yeah.
Like I can talk about faith for hours. I cannot talk about faith for hours. Like, what do you want to talk about? Like I'm open. I'm an open book. I just want to have conversations that are meaningful to people. And what better way to turn people off than shoving something down their throat?
Exactly.
So exactly. Don't do that.
It's happened a few times in my life where that type of thing has happened, where people try to shove their beliefs down my throat. But the majority, like I've had people that were my best friends for like a decade. And I didn't find out until almost 10 years down the road that he went to church every single Sunday. I never had any clue. And he never cared because we never talked about it. But we still were best friends. We would hang out almost every single day. And it's
like a conversation boundary.
Exactly. There shouldn't be anything off limits because like this whole thing that's going on, especially in the comedy world, you mentioned Whitney Cummings. I love Whitney Cummings, by the way. Yeah,
me too. I've listened to almost every single episode during this quarantine. I don't know what it is about her and Andrew Schultz. Like I'm just hooked.
Oh, Andrew Schultz too. Love him. But the thing that's going on in the comedy world, because I listen to a lot of podcasts and a majority of them are about comedy or they're by comedians.
Same.
And there's this whole thing of people getting offended as a profession. Like people will go to a comedy show knowing that this is a comedy show. And the point of comedy is to say absurd things. And the point is to make people laugh about these absurd things, to get you to kind of lighten up about sometimes difficult things to hear, but to take offense and feel like my being offended is more important than the happiness of these maybe thousands of people around me laughing. Sure. It's crazy. Why try to find rage in your life? Why not try to find the joy and the humor that everyone else is getting to experience? And comedians get attacked all the time for saying,
They're making jokes. Like if you're going to a comedy show and someone makes an abortion joke and you laugh at it, and in the same set they're like, "Ha ha, Christianity this," and you're like, "Oh, I'm offended. I'm out of here." Like
exactly, you can't cherry pick what's comedy. And if you draw a line somewhere, everything's off limits.
They're trying to pull a laugh out of you. They're trying to help you escape reality. And there are times that you can feel that like, oh, that was a little heavier, but that's what it's there for. They're supposed to say absurd things. So like, You see people that are really good at their job. You see people that aren't good at their job. And if you're a comedian and you're letting like this whole cancel culture, cancel out your jokes, like, I mean, I'm not going to say goodbye, but like, it is so hard because like, even for me, I have to watch things that I promote. I have to watch what I say, like even behind what I think are closed doors. Like it's so sad to see, people getting canceled for the dumbest things, but then you have people like Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein that need to be canceled.
Yeah. And that's beyond canceling for those. Yeah. Guys. Yeah. Like, yeah. They needed to go to prison. It's not, it's not like Andrew Schultz. Is
Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
He didn't.
There's no way.
It was Amanda Knox said on several podcasts. It's like, if he was on suicide watch. Yeah, I heard that the other day. She said on that podcast, she said, if he was under suicide watch, there's no way. There's absolutely no way.
Sitting at your door.
I've been to prison, and that's how it is.
I have not. Tell me about it.
That's how it's supposed to be. People, they put you, they'll literally
put you in a Gumby suit.
Yeah, they undress you and put you in like this Velcro outfit. And in prison, if you're like in the hole or something, there's a cell with just glass. So they could see straight through the cell, and they have a little like,
it's like a two-way mirror. Basically they can see in, but you can't see, and they can see to you, but you can't see to them.
Yeah. And there's eyes on you at all time
and cameras. Wow. So there's probably more than one officer and there's cameras. They were saying, oh, well the cameras broke for that 45 minute span.
You've
of time.
Got a billionaire.
Yeah.
A high got profile a billionaire, who billionaire
had a child sex ring and an island specified for that, and we're just gonna kind of let him, like, come on.
I feel bad for the lawyer who had to defend that. God bless him.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
for
what
sure
was his name. It was that that guy with the really yellow teeth. He was in the documentary. He got pointed out. He got fingered by one of the girls. She was like, "Oh no, I just realized what I said." Yeah. She's like, "No, that guy Horowitz. He was the lawyer." She's like, oh no, Epstein rented me out to him on numerous occasions. She described
to the lawyer
genitalia. Yes, to his lawyer. If you watch the documentary that's on Netflix.
Yeah. I don't remember
the lawyer.
Oh, I've seen it.
And Prince Andrew, they both were implicated in having sex with girls as young as 14. Which is,
why is it that everybody was expecting Donald Trump to be in that documentary and he had nothing to do with it?
They wanted him to be in it.
Yeah,
so
they wanted
bad.
Him everybody to be in did. It, but he didn't do anything with Epstein, apparently, which is like, it is so insane because like, even not on a political thing, like if the man had nothing to do with it, but everybody was like, oh, he's got to have something to do with it. But it was Bill Clinton. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Bill Clinton was on that jet, what, 27 times?
Yeah.
So many people were on that jet. That was like Air Force One for like B-list celebrities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody was
Michelle
on.
Wolf, she's a stand-up comic who had a special, I think, last year. She was on there. And that's she's like a totally normal woman.
She's the one that dogged Sarah Huckabee Sanders at the
inauguration or the
dinner. No, yeah, it was the press dinner thing.
Yeah, she's the one with the really curly red hair.
Yeah. She's the one that got all the heat for making fun of Sarah Huckabee Sanders' body. Like, you don't for her to be a feminist and like a part of Me Too and everything, for her to go up there and trash a mother that's just doing her job for her body, like, it was not a good look.
Yeah, she could have done better because she's usually really funny.
Yeah,
and a lot of comedians
politics got into it.
Yeah, that's where it usually, like, there are political comedians and then there are comedians that should just shut up about it because
just like everyone else.
Yeah, most people should just shut up about it. Like,
and I mean, I'm not the kind of person that's like, celebrities need to shut up about politics. It's like when you let emotion get into it, that's when I'm never gonna mute anybody, especially if I disagree with them. Like, I want to hear them, but there's a time and a place for it. And like, if you're out promoting your movie and at the same time you're campaigning for Hillary Clinton, like, it's not people go to the movies to escape the reality they're in.
Exactly.
And when you bring that into it, which I got from Whitney Cummings as well, I'm a mega fan, by the way. If she hears this,
she's awesome.
Like, there has to be an escape somewhere. And you're like, and I'm not going to say like your job is to act a part, but like what you do in your personal life is totally up to you. But when you're essentially being paid by people's like attention, have some decency to know, like they've just had a hard day at work. Some people are picking up four shifts in a day.
Keep it separated.
Single. Yeah. Like separate church and state, separate entertainment and politics, you know?
Yeah.
So like for that single mother out there picking up three shifts that goes home and just wants to entertain her kids and not hear a daggum thing about it. Like,
yeah,
just have her in mind.
And what if she's okay? There's a guy who works at a coal mine. Let's say he worked a 16 hour day. He gets home. He's a Trump supporter. Okay. He gets home to watch something on TV. And they're just, it's some celebrity he likes, and they're just shitting on Donald Trump and pushing Biden on everybody. Why alienate a majority of your audience? Because a lot of people really take politics to heart.
We saw that with Eminem when he did his rap at the MTV Video Awards. Like, he was like, I was just trying to draw a line in the sand. And it's like, nah, bro. Like,
no, why?
No, that's not what happened at all.
When he ran the first time, he did that BET Cypher when he was in that parking garage, and he did that whole, it was like a 21 minute freestyle about Donald Trump. And it's like, why do you
care that much? It wasn't even that good. Didn't
run. No, it didn't. Yeah. But why care that much to spend that much of your, especially your, he's such a creative lyricist.
Oh, I respect the crap out of him. Like he overcome so many objections coming from Eight Mile to like rising to rap royalty. I'm not trashing him at all, but like, I mean, when push comes to shove, that just, it wasn't good. Like, it wasn't good at all. There was no unity in it. His defense was, I was just trying to stand up for what I believe in. And I respect that. And I respect that you're an artist and a creative. But when it comes down to it, like, I'm not a critic or anything, but personally, I did not see any unity in that. Not even on a political spectrum. You know, it's just, it wasn't right.
No, it's like, I feel like more people should be trying to push the idea that politics shouldn't be separating anybody. Like, I have a lot of friends that would be considered very liberal. I consider myself a libertarian, if anything, but I also don't care. I'm also a felon who isn't allowed to vote. Yeah. So it's, all it does is push people apart. I know people that are Republican and they're way Republican, and they hate with all of their heart anybody who was on the other side of the aisle. And it's crazy to me.
How wild is that?
Yeah. I was like, I couldn't care less what the person, if they're a Marxist or if they're a extremist right wing, I don't care.
Bro, and it comes down to like the words that we use. Words carry so much weight with us. So like when you say, if you're a Republican and you say, I hate Joe Biden, and you're a Democrat, you say, I hate Donald Trump.
It's like, I've never
you
met
don't
either.
Hate that person. Yeah, I don't know them. I wouldn't want to, like, I, you know, like, usually people of power like that, maybe they are. And it comes down to, like I said earlier, like, I read Michelle Obama's book, Becoming, I read Tommy Lauren's book, I read Sarah Huckabee Sanders' book. It comes down to, like, you don't hate that person, you dislike their politics. And the words that we use today are so powerful. And which is like I said earlier about changing the name of the clothing brand, like, our words are so powerful. What do I want to promote? The press release is going to be, I'm not here to like make fear famous, you know? I just want to promote living a transparent lifestyle, and hopefully people can relate with that and get behind it, no matter what faith they come from, no matter where they graduated from school, no matter how much jail time they did. Everybody can honestly, I pray that they can look at tomorrow and be like, I'm going to start living a little more transparent tomorrow, whether it's living a minimalist lifestyle, living a lifestyle of faith, living a lifestyle of just making up for the past things they've done. Nobody's ever too far gone to restart. And it's going to look so different for everyone, but I truly believe that everyone has something in them that nobody else can carry. Nobody can carry the weight. Now, when it comes to like working a 9-to-5 job, my issue with the American dream is everybody's always looking for that dream job. in reality, like if you want a dream job, you got to create that job, and it's going to come with growing pains, and it's going to come with making that investment, believing in yourself and not being afraid to fail. So if you're working a job and you feel like that's where you're supposed to be, great. If you're working a job just for a paycheck, you know, it's going to be hard to be satisfied in life. And I see so much value in what you guys are doing and the message that you're putting across, and just loving on people and being willing to have conversations and look past what people's beliefs are, whether they're different or whatever, black, white, Hispanic, Democrat, Republican, Christian, Muslim, whatever. Yeah. You're open to have a conversation. And I see you guys putting out positivity in your message. And I just commend you for sticking with that, because you see so many people out there that just want to stay in their comfortable bubble. And it's super refreshing for me to see people that aren't afraid to have conversations with people that think other than what they do.
Absolutely. And it's always been that way for me. I've always been around a very eclectic group of different types of people. And it's always been, I've never really liked people that were like me, like too much like me. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't want to just hang out with myself all day. I do that when I'm alone. I want to be around people that have had a completely different life, but you can always find common ground with, I could find common ground with a guy from Saudi Arabia. If we could speak the same language, I guarantee, because human emotions are something that are universal. There's something in that, like there's a connection there, regardless if you're speaking to this person, if you understand each other, there's an understanding there just being people.
When I go through a drive-through, like I make it a point to put my phone down and actually engage with.
There
we
are. Oh no.
You don't know what people are going through. So like when I get to a drive-through to like order food, like I put my phone down and I start listening to what that person has to say. I make it a point to say thank you and look them in the eye, and just like if there's cars in front and we're waiting, it's like, how's your day going? Like when you set what you're doing aside, like I hate it when people are like, yeah, here you go. Like they're not a robot. They're a person. They have mouths to feed, whether it's theirs, their kids, their family, whatever. You don't know if they're supporting, like just doing that to pay off debt. You don't know what their story is. So just like that investment of love and compassion and showing that you actually see them, it could save a life. You don't know if they're suicidal. You don't
know. That was exactly what I was going to say. I've always thought about that when like I've had conversations with just random people that just looked upset. Like, especially when I was in high school, I was homeschooled from I did private school online from 8th to 11th grade. And then my senior year, I went to school and I would see somebody like sitting there by themselves against the wall. And I would go up and have a conversation with them, because I always thought about this one guy who everyone else in the school picked on him. His family did. I was the only one that really talk to him, and I didn't treat him like shit because he was a nice guy. And then I find out by the next school year he had cashed out, basically.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, if one other person besides me in his life was like, hey man, how's it going? Do you want to, you know, go to Burger King? Even spend 45
minutes. Bro, those chicken fries slap.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. With the buffalo sauce? Come on, boy.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah. I'm saying that type of shit really could be the, like, somebody just snuffing you, like you walk up and you're like, hi, just kind of shy, and they're just like, whatever.
Jimmy Fallon, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's so sad, man.
Yeah.
Bro, they need, like, girls and boys, just stop with that. Like, you're not over anybody. It isn't working at all. And
bullying
for me,
always
like
my biggest pet peeve, when I see that shit, it drives me insane.
Yeah. It's so dumb, dude.
Hate it.
Makes you look so like
pathetic.
It makes you look ugly.
All right. We're back. That's so weird. This has never happened before.
Yeah. I don't know. Usually at my place, we usually do it in my garage, 'cause I made it into a studio.
Sure.
And when I did the podcast with Leo Flowers, uh-huh. It was good for the majority of it, but at the end it cut off and I didn't like get to say bye and like,
you know, do
the whole sign off thing. So I figured, I could do it at my mom's house. Won't bother my son or my wife. router's right there. So I was like, but this entire city, that's the other issue with being in a smaller city.
Yeah.
The Wi-Fi is terrible because there's basically one real internet service provider. So they can just go, well, you don't like it? Go somewhere else.
What's it called?
Yeah. And they go, oh, you can't? And that's it.
Yeah, that's how it is here.
South Park episode.
Bro, I got really blessed. Like, the box for this whole road is like right across the street. And I grew up 5 minutes from here, and I grew up on 1 meg of internet. Now I have like 150. It's great.
Oh, so you're just swimming in broadband.
I'm like, I bought this house, and I was like, I'm never leaving because I have good internet.
Yeah.
Never.
If I moved into a place with good internet, I would try to buy it. I don't care if I was renting.
I'd be like,
how much
take
you
my
want?
Money.
Yeah, take everything. If I get,
I'm moving in, I'm going to have the fastest internet ever. We're going to have the greatest of all time. It's going to be the greatest thing ever, possibly the best. It depends on who you ask.
Huge bandwidth. There's
huge
like
bandwidth.
Some lady in Helsinki has like 2 terabytes a second upload speed. It's somewhere crazy that you would never imagine.
I don't want to live there.
Fastest. Yeah. But
sounds like overkill. It's going to be too fast and just shut off.
You can download like 60 terabytes worth of movies in like 10 seconds, though.
If I ever have 60 terabytes of anything, I need to get in.
You're obsessed.
Yeah.
I need to reevaluate.
Definitely.
Yeah. I have a 2 terabyte and I'm not even halfway through.
Hey, freeze. So he thinks we're frozen.
Why does my phone say? Oh, okay.
That's the beauty of podcasting, though. Yeah, it's such the beauty of podcasting, though. Like, it's a real conversation, and you can chop out whatever overflow you have.
Yeah, yeah. Do you, so you have your podcast, Trevor Talks, right?
Yes.
Is this, it's a video podcast, or do you just do audio?
I'll just do audio. We've toyed around with video, but it's like, I don't see it benefiting long-term. So
it makes
I'm
it a pain
start
in the ass kind of.
Well, it's that, and it's just not, I didn't see a return on investment. So I'm sure long-term there would be a return on investment, but for right now, I just started my media company where I go in and help podcasters start up, cover art, whole nine yards from start to finish. So it's just very time consuming, and I didn't see return on investment with keeping it going.
Yeah. So we initially started doing audio as well, cause I didn't have it. I play music. I've been a musician since I was a teenager. So I had all the stuff to record audio. And once I realized I wanted to do video and I got all the stuff, then it was like figuring out the editing, which is a pain in the ass. And it's just so much time in the exporting and the rendering and all this nonsense. So do you, what platforms do you release Trevor Talks on? Is it on pretty much all the big
Trevor
ones?
Talks is across the board. Yeah. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Pandora.
Are you on Google Podcasts?
Everywhere. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Because I use Google Podcasts. You use Spotify.
Right? I use Spotify. I have Google Podcasts too. But
sometimes I use Spotify because Joe Rogan's on there. But
yeah, it's so weird to say like the podcast is available on all major outlets. But yeah, it is. It's so weird. Yeah. But that's one
there's
of the
like
things
six.
That. Yeah, and one of my end games, like I was like, I want something to be done on Apple, like iTunes, whatever. And now you could tell Alexa to play Trevor Talks, and it just blows my mind. Siri, whoever.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
What?
Yeah, I almost cried the first time I heard it. I was like, she knows my name. And it's just super awesome. Cool, man. But to see everything come together and to have a dedicated podcast that, like, I don't monetize a podcast. That's purely me doing my best to try to encourage people and just give you some content that's hopefully encouraging. And the whole topic behind it is real people, real topics, real stories. And it's a combination of entertainment, education and just inspiration. Like, I want to inspire people, but I don't want to shove an agenda down your throat. I just purely want to talk about anxiety and depression and have people come in and share their stories. And some are like-minded, some aren't. I had Leo on the show as well. Like, it comes down to like, I just want people to walk away feeling a little bit more encouraged to either start their business or to wake up another day. That can be a benefit all on its own. And I just pray that the end game for that is that people leave encouraged and want to pour that inspiration that they were fed into someone else, like a domino effect.
Absolutely. That's, we're going for the same thing. Obviously we don't monetize. We don't even have enough. I don't think we have enough downloads to even care about monetizing, but it's always just been like basically how it works for sponsoring people when you're, when you go through 12-step programs. But it's like doing that on a massive scale, and not just for drug addiction, but for all different types of
all things issues, mental health.
Mental health issues that people have. Cause
it's like therapy on the gamut.
For sure.
But a lot of people, especially like in this city, there's not really much help for people who are addicted or people with mental health issues. There's a couple places you can go. I've gone to both of them, and I don't feel like I got any help. They don't want to talk. They just want to push medication. Mm. And you kind of have to go an hour or more away. Like Vegas is 2 hours away. You can go there and get therapy. And there's a guy that comes here like once a week, but he's booked out. So it's like,
dang, man.
And then for addiction, there's basically nothing except the Arizona Recovery Center.
Dude, BetterHelp is such a good option. And I think if you go to betterhelp.com/TrevorTalks, I have it worked out to where they'll give you like, I think it's 20% off your first month, which is great. Nice. And it's not one of those monetizing things. It's just like, I was looking for a way to get people into therapy. So what better way to partner with the
we're back. Yeah, we're back. At least it only goes for like 5 seconds at a time.
The one. Oh yeah, it's like
cut off and then he just was gone. And I was like, oh no, he's gonna hate me.
Gone with the wind.
Yeah. He was such a cool guy though, Leo.
Yeah, he definitely was.
Nah, he's great. Nah, but BetterHelp, man, highly recommend it. And no matter where you're at in the world, you can see a therapist on demand. So it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard so much about it so many different podcasts that we listen to.
YMH with Tom Segura, Christina P, they both use BetterHelp.
Tiger Belly.
Yeah.
Bobby Lee.
That's
who hosts Tiger Belly. I heard about that last week.
Bobby Lee.
Yeah, Bobby Lee. Yeah, yeah.
Mad TV and all that.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend, Kalila. And then he's also on Bad Friends with Andrew Santino.
Yeah. Everybody's using BetterHelp because it's such a great resource. Like, and I'm not saying that to make money off of it. Like I said, like legitimately, they want to give you money off to try the service. It's phenomenal.
I've definitely thought about it just because the therapy that I did do out here, it was really expensive for an hour.
Yeah.
And the guy was
It averages out to like $35 per session. It's
okay,
like,
this was 90 per session.
Yeah.
And it was good. But it was kind of more focused on, it wasn't really focused on mental health type of stuff. It was more focused on like behavioral type of stuff.
Yeah, that's how it was for me in rehab too. Like,
yeah, I guess that's kind of easier to deal with, like for some people. And that's also another big thing is a lot of people go into therapy and they'll lie. Have you heard about this?
Yeah. Like literally go in there. You're paying someone to help you and you're not giving them the truth.
Yeah. You're cheating. It's like doing half a push-up and being like, why is my chest
still throwing your money away?
Absolutely. I was brutally honest with this guy. He was almost taken aback because I was just like, oh yeah, intravenous drug use for this many years.
I was so honest. He called the cops and they picked me up. Like,
yeah.
Bad.
Yeah. But I've experienced therapy on two separate occasions in my life. And I wish I stuck with it both times because I did always feel this weird, like sense of accomplishment when I left, like, oh, good job me. You know, I did something to help whatever this thing is inside of my head. Like whoever's in the driver's seat in here, I helped him, and I feel good about that. It wasn't like, oh, I feel fixed.
Yeah.
It was just, I feel accomplished to go throughout my day and be a more positive person.
Yeah. So we try to stay
transparent.
That's why we try to keep that like saying out there, the PMA, like
positive
mental attitude.
Yeah. Yes. It's all about mindset.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Most definitely.
Have you ever read, read Eckhart Tolle's books?
I have not. The only thing remotely close to that is 5 Second Rule by Mel Robbins.
Oh, I don't think I've heard of that. But
she's great.
This guy, it's kind of like Buddhist based stuff. Some of it, a lot of it's about like kind of getting rid of the ego.
Yeah.
Which is the thing that he's saying, that your ego is the one that wants to, you know, be Machiavellian, or wants to be greedy, wants to have all this pride and do all these things that could hurt other people just to make yourself feel good.
Yeah.
And sure. If you can kind of calm the ego down, like not get rid of it completely, but to check your ego and realize that it's not you, it's not who you are, that you can live a happier life and not let outside things affect you. Like, a lot of people get mad about things they can't control, which is being crazy to try to control things you can't, like the weather.
Like you were just saying, like about the ego, like letting it go. It's like you're just giving it a name. If you're saying like, well,
exactly. You personify the things that you're basically willing things into existence that you do not want. The last thing you want. That's like catastrophizing things. Like psychosomatically, I think sometimes I can make myself go blind. That's part of my anxiety. Mm. I'll be driving and then I'll be focusing on, how am I seeing right now? And then I'm like, oh no. And then I start working myself up like, uh-oh, I'm going to go blind. And technically it could happen. Psychosomatic things could happen and it could just turn off because your brain is super powerful.
Sure.
And then that's mind over matter, pretty much everything. You can, you know, when you first start going through panic attacks, like I'd call the helpline at the doctor's office and they would do the thing where they tell you, okay, imagine a balloon inflating and deflating. Now put a pattern.
I just popped it, woman. Next.
Yeah.
Go, this isn't helping. I can't breathe right now. And they just, no, calm down. Imagine a balloon. I'm like, okay. It never worked. Like the one thing that did work kind of for anxiety attacks was the whole find something in the room.
Yeah, focus on something.
Do a lot of counting. Like you just,
mine was like, seven seconds breathing in. I think it's four seconds holding it, and then seven letting out has been a
breath
really
digging kind of thing.
Yeah. And
I've always been told like that, and it never works. I just end up passing out because I'm just breathing.
Bro, there's this essential oil called Valor. Then also, obviously, CBD helps. So,
yeah.
Yes, I take CBD every day, and it does.
CBD
it does
is excellent.
Lot.
It's a very, very powerful tool if it's used correctly. Yeah. I'll talk to you guys soon. It's been a pleasure. Thank y'all so much
again
for having me. I enjoyed this so much. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for coming on, dude. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Y'all enjoy your day.
Yeah, man, you too.
See you later.
See ya.
Still fucking up.